your community station. Lisbon's 98 FM.
This is The Jewel Case with me, John Darcy. We've got a special guest today, Kieran Loog.
Hello there.
No, wait, see, and you're not going to come in until after this track.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Summer's in your heart, and I know that you're staying. Taking a ride, but it feels like you're paying for the madness that occurred with the ticket to good times. Hunter promised this, but he wasn't ready for the first time. Standing with my friends in the bright light, saw you going crazy on the dance floor. In New York, and I know that we're dreaming. Drunken conversations and the things we were scheming to get out of this town and take a trip underground. How Bateman promised this, but he wasn't ready for the first time. Standing with my friends in the bright light, saw you going crazy on the dance floor. It was the first time standing with my friends in the bright light. Saw you going crazy on the dance floor.
Welcome. This is a special edition of The Jewel Case. It's my first special guest on the show, and the guest is someone I've known for years and years, one of my best friends in school and still one of my best friends to this day. He's back visiting Northern Ireland from his current place of residence in London, London City, the big smoke. It's my old friend, Kieran Loog.
Good evening. Oh, we don't know when this show goes out, do we? Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon.
This is a special pre-recorded edition because Kieran's a busy guy. I had to find a little sliver of airtime in his schedule to actually get this recorded. Sorry, Kieran, do you say schedule or schedule?
I say schedule.
Schedule. Kieran is actually a radio aficionado, I think, first and foremost, is your title, really.
Radio fan and upstart, yeah.
What sort of radio shows are your favourite?
I like really introspective ones that talk solely, where people sort of get to indulge themselves and blather on, which I'm hoping is what this one's going to be about, yeah.
That's exactly what I had in mind. The theme of today's show is my and Kieran's gig history.
It's kind of the show, the theme is Los Dos Amigos.
Two guys going to some gigs.
Yeah.
And we've been going to gigs together since we were 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And that's why we play Oppenheimer. The song you just heard was Oppenheimer, Breakfast in NYC, from their first self-titled debut album. And we actually tried to go and see Oppenheimer in the Empire.
It was the Empire. It was very cold out, and I had a blazer, a navy stripy blazer with an Oppenheimer
badge. Do you remember
we
used to wear blazers when we were wee? God. And we walked up, strolled up to the Empire, no ticket in hand. I think it was a pay on the door show, yeah. And the bouncers were not happy at the sight of us because we were pubescent and had spots, and I probably still had braces, and they said no chance, lads. And when we got knocked back from the Oppenheimer show,
is that really what they said? Did they say no chance to trigger them? Well, did they not know who we were?
That's what bouncers always said to me when I was that age. So we didn't get to see Oppenheimer, and I actually remember typing out a message to Rocky and Sean from Oppenheimer on MySpace, and I said, told them how much we liked them and that we didn't get into the gig. I don't know what I was expecting them to retort with or reply.
Presumably immediate admission to their next gig.
I think about 2 years later, Rocky actually did message me back and say, really sorry to hear that.
By which time it was too late, because you'd become of age then. You were over 18 by then, I assume.
By that stage, I had probably actually befriended Rocky through like the music scene in Belfast and his recording studio start together. And we actually saw them at a house party, I think. Were you at that house party?
Probably not, don't remember.
There was a band in Belfast called Tracer AMC, and Alex from Tracer AMC threw a house party one time and Oppenheimer played it, and it was amazing. And one time they played Head Records in Belfast as well. This is now the Oppenheimer gig history in Belfast.
God, I remember seeing them so many times, but I do not remember that at all. I also remember seeing Sean is the drummer, isn't he?
Yeah.
At the very corner of the Empire stage, sort of squashed in for some reason, because I think there was another band had sort of taken over the whole stage, and that would like their stuff was just there, and they just squashed in the stage, and then Rocky was sort of nearest the front.
I think we saw them at Tenants Vital 1 year as well. That was a whole other thing.
Yes,
we'll get to
indeed.
Vital later in the show. What we have lined up next is one of your favourite bands ever, probably.
Yeah, favourite band. First record I ever bought, first CD I ever bought. Was it first gig? I can't remember. I think it was first gig as well. No, I can't remember. They're from Dublin, band called The Chalets. The track is, remind me what the track is there, John.
This is, sorry, Kieran can't see the see where I'm operating the music from. So this track is No Style off their first album.
Everybody says you're looking pretty cool, and the summer's looking good for the gang you rule, but you got no style. Yeah, you got no style. Working every day, you're waiting to get paid, and you're counting every check till you can get away, but you got no time. Yeah, you got no time. Every summer gets your turn.
another band that we were thoroughly fixated on when we were still in the womb of secondary school.
I think that's a... God, the womb makes it sound an awful lot nicer than it was.
You didn't really enjoy secondary school, from what I remember.
I absolutely hated it. It comes as a surprise to me that everyone around me didn't hate it as well. I loathed it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I just did my own thing.
I tried to. Oh God, it was so bloody boring. My overwhelming memory is of complete boredom. I got a little AM FM radio. I keep hitting the microphone post. My memory is of getting a little AM FM radio that I listen to on the way to school, sometimes in class. I listen to a lot of radio. And then, do you remember everyone got MP3 players? A lot of people got, some people got iPods. I got an iRiver, which I still maintain was very, very good. It was really good. It had a touch, it had something, it had like a colour screen and a touchable interface, where way before iPod did. It was really, really good. It was really excellent. And I actually listened to it the other day and it sounds brilliant.
I got, I was big into mini discs, just pre-iPods and stuff, and would fill up mini discs with full discographies of bands like Ash, and we really should have put Ash in. Actually, we haven't added Ash into our playlist.
Well, we can just do an Ash show in 10 years
time.
We'll
reconvene in a couple of years and do an Ash show. Our next song is by another local artist though, who we went to so many shows.
Yeah, loads. Like every single thing from playing in a record shop to playing in a pub to playing as part of, like, do you remember like Music Live and those kind of big things?
Yeah, there was a lot of BBC gigs back then.
Yeah.
There was a lot of big push. There was like the year of Music Live. Yeah. And I guess we went to a lot of Duke Special shows as part of that. Give the game away. And this the Duke Special gigs that I have specifically in my head are when he played five consecutive nights in the Empire Music
very,
Hall.
Very, very big.
And I'm pretty sure he went to at least three of these.
Yes, I think you may have gone to all of them. I think I went to three. I think you went to all of them.
It was a great time for Duke Special. Great time to be alive. The song we're going to play to sort of get us back in that glorious mindset is Our Love Goes Deeper Than This.
Don't deserve her, and though I'll love her till I die, I know that I must leave her. She said no, our love goes deeper than this. She said no, our love goes deeper than this. But when she pressed it to her breast, it pierced her flesh and left her bleeding. I know that I should lose her now. It's true, I don't deserve her. And though I love her till I die, now I must desert her. She said no, our love goes deeper than this. Deeper than that. Even though there's poison in each kiss, she said no, our love goes deeper than that. Done. It's true, I don't deserve her. And though
till I'm gone. Now I must desert her. But she said no. Love goes deeper than this. She said no. Love goes deeper than.
Duke Special there, and Our Love Goes Deeper. And he had a wee guest artist on that, just the way I have a wee guest, a wee co-host, a guest presenter with me tonight, my old friend Kieran Logue.
Hello.
Recounting some of our favourite music.
Do you think we could, how many times do you think we will clash when we're speaking throughout this? Because I can't really see your mouth and you can't really see my mouth because we've got microphones in front of it. And
about 14 more, I'd say.
And we keep speaking over each other. Yes, but yeah, there in Duke Specials record, who I keep giving him the wrong name. Anyway, that's
what do you keep calling him?
Duke Spirit, for obvious reasons that will become apparent to the listeners later.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, he himself had a little guest there.
He had a guest, and who was the guest?
It was your friend and mine, Neil Hannon.
It was Neil Hannon
Comedy.
From the Divine Comedy. Yeah, last time I talked to Neil, it was down in. It was in the Olympia, actually, in Dublin.
Because
we were both at the Magnetic Fields gig there. That was great.
Oh,
but
wow.
Apparently he was there because he was on the same label as Magnetic Fields back in the day, whenever the day was. But back
was that
in
Satanta? No. He was on Satanta for a long time, I believe.
I'm not sure. We should have done our research.
I know because there is a story that he was on the same record label as Edwyn Collins, and Edwyn Collins released a record that made a pile of money. And all that money, rather than being piled into Edwyn Collins, was piled into the Divine Comedy.
And for good reason, because he's bloody great.
Far better than bloody Edwyn Collins.
And for that reason, we're rolling with Duke Special featuring Divine Comedy, straight into Divine Comedy, because we saw him a couple of times over the years.
Oh God, loads, yeah.
And one of those times, I think, was in the Speakeasy in the Union. No, not in the Speakeasy, in the Mandela Hall.
Yes, exactly right.
In the large venue. And that would have been around the time he released Victory for the Comic Muse.
Yes.
But I think we probably also saw him around that BBC Music Live era when he released Absent Friends.
That's correct. Did he play in the Waterfront Hall? I don't know.
Orchestra,
yeah,
something like that.
Because Duke Special did.
They were all up to that back in them days when there was money in music.
Kara, where was our orchestra? Why did we not have an orchestra? That's what we need.
We need an orchestra. Tell Neil Hannon we need an orchestra. This is Neil Hannon's track, The Pop Singer's Fear of the Pollen Count.
In love.
Neil Hannon there, the Divine Comedy, with the pop singer's Fear of the Pollen Count. And we just worked out that that's not actually on any of his albums. That's just on his Greatest Hits album.
That was one of the, as you pointed out, one of the very ambitious singles from a Best Of or Greatest Hits album. So they released a single from a Greatest Hits album. I would say ambitiously, in this case quite rightly.
It is one of his greatest hits, and they just released it on his Greatest Hits album. They knew it. They had it in the bag. This is one of your best songs. Let's just release it on your Greatest Hits.
See, we're very young and naive, because that would have been released, I don't know what year it would have been released, but he had sort of hit the, like, he was big in the 90s, by which time, I mean, it could have been something he was doing live, could have been something that was on radio, could have been something that was released. It could have been something that was released in France, actually, because he's way more famous in France before he made it in the UK by quite a wide margin.
Yes, I keep forgetting that he was actually on the periphery of Britpop as Ash were. Well, Ash were on the cover of the NME during Britpop.
Yeah.
But Neil Hannon was sort of on the periphery there. He was a crooner vibe. But the videos, when you look at the videos, that really gives it away. That sort of 90s, really saturated film stock.
Overproduced, I would say.
Oh, perfectly
produced.
Far too
much money in the 90s. My God, guys. Well,
speaking of a 90s band.
Oh, yeah.
A band that sort of came to their fruition in the 90s, but that we only really became aware of in the noughties.
When they got good.
Belle and Sebastian.
Excellent.
And I've been digging into their archive a lot recently. I played a Belle and Sebastian tribute show recently and sort of reacquainted myself with their oeuvre. And it reminded me of one of our first gigs that we were at together. And I have such fond memories of it. It was in the Ulster Hall.
It was everything we like about gigs. It was inside. You got a seat. Brilliant.
You got your own seat. We were in the balcony, but Belle and Sebastian, I think they're kind of one of those bands you do enjoy as we sit down at a gig.
Definitely. Especially, well, I don't, that the record that they were touring at the time, which is called The Life Pursuit, does not have any album tracks on it. It's just hit after hit after hit, I think.
It's pure hit. And one of the songs that they played, I'll never remember what song it was. And I don't know if they perform it like this anymore, but they did a live fade out.
Oh yes, I remember that.
Like, you know, on the record you get a fade out at the end of the song, but they actually did it live.
That was the first and last time I'd ever seen that.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that, and I've never been able to do that at a show, but someday I'll work out how to do that, how they did it. I think the sound engineer just turned everything down slowly.
This track here that we're about to play is the track that made me want to leave Belfast and live in Glasgow, because I assume it's about Glasgow and someone in there.
Did you ever move to Glasgow?
No, I went to look at it for university, but it was very cold. Do you think Belfast's cold? My God, loads of hills as well.
Speaking of glass, I remember one of the key parts of the show was that only one of us had a pair of glasses, and we shared our glasses because we were quite far away, and we were swapping song by song the glasses so that we could actually see Stuart Murdoch's facial expressions.
Thank you for that, by the way. I really appreciated that. By the way, that was before the Ulster Hall was done up. Do you remember what it used to look like before it was done up? Bloody awful.
Yeah. Sookie in the Graveyard by Belle and Sebastian.
To hang out in the graveyard. She did brass rubbing, she learned she never had to press hard. When she was finished hanging out, she was all alone. She decided that she better check it at home. There was an awful row between her mom and dad. She said she hadn't done this, she hadn't done that. If she wanted to remain inside the family home, she'd have to toe the line, she'd have to give it a go. It didn't suit Suki, she took her things and left. Suki was a kid, she liked to hang out in the art school. She didn't enroll, but she wiped the floor with all the assholes. She took a fusion clap at the fraternity cat, and she hid inside the attic of the sculpture building. She had a slut slave and his name was Dave. She said, be my father bitch and I'll make you rich. He didn't believe her, but the boy revealed her. He got her the meals, he got her the bed. He watched behind the screen and she started to undress. He never got far, just looking and playing guitar. We'll be right back.
with the wind coming on and the attic cold. She had a prison nose and the reflecting wall. Disgusting pudding, she went with that. She had to pose for life with all the stars in the bar. She didn't feel funny, she didn't feel bad. I'm feeling away everything she had. She had the grace of a needle, sleek and stark. As the shadows played tricks on the girl in the dark. Suki was a kid, she liked to hang out in the graveyard. Suki was a kid, and she liked to hang out in the graveyard. Suki was a kid, and she liked to hang out in the graveyard. Suki was a kid, and she liked to hang out in the graveyard.
Belle and Sebastian there with Suki in the Graveyard from The Life Pursuit, the album they were touring when we first saw them in the Ulster Hall, and we've seen them a couple of times since.
Yes, we have.
The next track we'll play...
This is totally linked to the previous track. We should have played this first. What are we doing?
Because they were the support band.
Yes.
But they're so affecting they were that we're going to play them as well as Belle and Sebastian.
Yeah, they really were amazing. It was the first... We'd been to some gigs and usually the support was absolutely atrocious.
Awful.
But this was bloody brilliant. I'd have gone to see them by themselves.
So good I actually bought the album.
Oh yeah, Give Blood.
And the band's called Breaks, and this is their song All Night Disco Party. Breaks?
It was not The Breaks, it was Breaks.
Oh, sorry, it was just Breaks. But spelt as in your foot break on your car rather than breaking your leg.
Correct.
And that was All Night Disco Party. And we saw The Breaks. Breaks.
The amateurs. We saw Breaks, as we mentioned prior to the record, just before we saw Belle Sebastian. So yes, it was all nice, we all had a good time. Everyone was having a good time before they misnamed the band.
And another...
They have another ridiculous song called Porcupine or Pineapple, which has... I think that's the sum total of the lyrics. A porcupine or pineapple.
They were great. So yeah, they were. The guy really reminded me of Frank Black from the Pixies for some reason.
I can't remember him. I remember an angry bald man, but that's it.
That's why he reminded me of Frank Black from the Pixies,
well,
or Black Francis.
There we go.
Either or. So the next song we're going to play is by American songwriter Regina Spektor.
Now, we saw
Regina in what was The Limelight. It's now The Limelight 2, or Limelight Dos, as I like to call it.
Oh God, everything changes.
Everything changes, and we saw... Were we underage when we went to see Regina Spektor?
We were so underage, yeah.
And I think for the whole support band, I was worried about someone coming and kicking us out, because I was always scared of bouncers at that age.
We were also scared of being bored to death, because the warm-up act was Jeremy Wormsley, who would bore the hind leg of a donkey.
Oh, don't be mean to him.
He's awful.
What's he doing nowadays?
He is in a band called Summer Camp with his lady wife, who is the head bombardier at Mushy Mushy Records. So, you know.
That's nice,
isn't it?
And Regina was, I think, doing the rounds on MySpace a lot then. That was in that era. And someone had sent me an MP3, probably over MSN, of her version, like a live version of that song, Samson.
See, that was my... I can't believe you actually got into her if that was your first record, because that is a cripplingly sad record.
It's
the first
so
thing,
sad.
What's the record that has all the plucking of the violins? What's that one?
Ding, 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 yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
This is great, isn't it? This is great radio, isn't it? Well, having said that, the record we are about, or the song we are about to play is...
Us by Regina Spektor.
They made a statue of us, and they put it on a mountaintop. Tourists come and stare at us. Blow bubbles with their gum. Take photographs of fun. Have fun. They'll name a city after us. And later say it's all our fault. Then they'll give us a talking to. Talking to, 'cause they've got years of experience. Living in a den of thieves, rummaging for answers in the pages. Living in a den of thieves, and it's contagious, and it's contagious.
Lisbon's 98 FM. Regina Spektor with her song Us. And we were just commenting there how self-indulgent it is of me and my friend Kieran Logue, my special guest in the Jewel Kids tonight, to be doing a show all about us and our favourite gigging experiences over the last How many years?
Far too many, at least 3 or 4 now. We weren't so much discussing it as sort of awkwardly commenting upon it. The fact that this is very self-indulgent.
This is the problem. Most discussion for me is awkward comments on things.
That's
I can't
fair.
Really differentiate. The next song, we're taking it local again.
Probably one of the hardest working, most talented bands in Northern Ireland.
I'm sure their singer Johnny Black would disagree with you. It's Lafaro. And the song, I think, was voted by the writers of AU magazine as the best song, the best local song ever. We saw them probably about 40 times over the course of a couple of years.
One of my worst gig injuries, moshing injuries, was from there.
Really?
Yeah, like horrendous. Like, I don't know what happened. I was on the floor for some of it.
You moshed?
Then I had this massive... You couldn't help it. Everyone, you couldn't not, unless you were standing outside. The massive, horrible bruise on my leg, and it felt like my hip was broken.
I don't think I was at that one with you then.
No, I think you were. It was Auntie Annie's. I don't like to complain, you know me.
Well, this is the one you're gonna know this one if you've been to a gig in Northern Ireland over the last 10 years. This is Tubby Nudger by Lafaro.
Still to rise. It's all me.
The Pharaoh and Tuppenny Nudger there. One of the most staple acts of the local music scene, I'd say, over the last number of years, though they're not really playing now. I forget, have they broken up? Are they on hiatus?
No, they don't seem... They certainly don't seem to be. A few, I think Johnny Black and... Do you remember the old bassist? I think they had a short-lived band called Gay Paris.
Okay.
And it was really good. Actually, probably one of the best gigs I've ever seen was their first gig.
Let's call Ryan and ask them tonight. So the next song is Be Your Own Pet, one of your favourite bands, I remember.
I love these guys. They're just mad, silly, stupid yobbos.
They are yobbos.
They played in Belfast. I imagine they're all little like posh kids. But they played in Belfast at Vital, the sort of large park-based concert that happens in the summer, or used to. They were very much a warm-up act to the warm-up act of that day. It was brilliant. I got there at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon to see them. She spat into the audience, which I'm into. That's fine. What else happened? I just adore them. Oh, when I did work experience at AU Magazine, and as a reward, I got a poster from them at the end of the week and a little record. And then when I was in university, I was in the student union office one time, and somebody had a 7-inch single above their desk, and I said, "Oh wow, that's Be Your Own Pet. Who likes that?" And they were like, "Oh god, I don't know. Someone who used to work here. Do you want it?"
Oh.
So they didn't. So I was sort of heartbroken and delighted that I got that. But anyway, yes, big build up, big single. This is Be Your Own Pet with Adventure.
Was Be Your Own Pet at Adventure, and Kieran's giving me a lot of jip here while we're playing the songs. give me a lot of radio production advice. Thanks, Kieran.
You're very welcome.
The next band we're going to play, who we saw live actually in the Black Box in Belfast.
Oh yeah, is that what that was? Oh yeah, they were. I don't know if they were the main act or they were the support.
They weren't the main act. They were the support.
It should have been the other way around. Even I admit it. Even I, who had initially went to see the other band, who were called the Dodos. That bill was the wrong way around.
It was.
Sorry, guys. I know you're listening.
The band who were the support act who we're going to play now were School of Language, who are a side project of the Field Music brothers.
And they're way better than Field Music.
Sorry, Field Music. But this one song we're about to play is actually better than a lot of the Field Music.
by a wide margin. Although this is a single, it has to be said. This is definitely a single.
We've seen Field Music a number of times. I saw them in the Pavilion Bar on the Oma Road at one time, and we saw them, I guess, in Barcelona a couple of times, maybe.
Oh, God, yeah, definitely.
And we've only seen School Language once because they don't play, because they're just a side project. I think he just did this album. One of the brothers of Field Music made this album and sort of just left it, like toured it a bit and then just left it. But it sits in a little time capsule.
It is borrowed heavily from a lot of other musicians, I would say.
It's called Rockist Part 1.
I feel you might have taken too long for me to feel. Watch that you said about it. The right time to discover everything that I can recognize. Oh, before the thoughts break. Oh, what's that you said? I find an easy way out. Collapse that attention at the side of your mouth, and it's a shame to keep on. Oh, when it's not on, the right time to discover everything, anything I see in your eyes. Oh, before the lights break. Oh, what's that you said?
Was Field Music Rockist Part 1 from their album Sea From Shore.
It's really only a side project that can end a single like that, isn't it?
So good. And the reason it's Rockist Part 1 is because the album is like sort of partly a concept album that threads out this Rockist tune and the riff in Rockist over the course of about five or six parts throughout the record. It's a recurring motif, so to speak. Now, we're nearing the end of the show, and if you've just joined us, my special guest tonight at the Jewel Case is Kieran Logue.
Hello there.
He's visiting over the holiday season, and we're pre-recording this show just to share with you some of our musical memories from over the years.
Music has been the making of us, you know. Do you know what? It just got us out of the house, didn't it?
It did.
And there's so much that everyone else doesn't know about the very minute circles of the Northern Irish music scene that they are missing out on. So slap it up, yees.
Slap it up, yees, is right. We started with Oppenheimer, the gig we got knocked back from, and went through the Divine Comedy and Duke Special, Bell and Sebastian, loads of musical highs over the years. This is one of my particular favourites because I never would have thought that a mariachi gig would be one of the highlight gigs.
Of your life, maybe?
Of my life.
I genuinely stand by that. That was one of the best gigs of my life.
I was visiting you. You had just moved to London to study.
They were putting on a large gig for Bronx, and then their side project, which is called Mariachi El Bronx, because they're from Los Angeles, which has huge influence from Mexico and South America.
Yeah, there's three Mariachi El Bronx records. The song we're about to play is the opening song from their first record, which was one of the highlights of the show, because they were just releasing the first record when we saw them, decked out in full mariachi band regalia.
Yeah, fully tailored specifically for them.
I know, right? Have you seen them since that gig?
No, I don't think I have.
I saw them in Belfast.
Oh,
in the Stiff Kitten. Were you at that show?
No, I wasn't, no.
Ah, okay. R.I.P. Stiff Kitten, and hopefully not R.I.P. Mariachi El Bronx. Hopefully, like unlike School of Language, this side project will continue for all time. This is from their first album. This is Cellmates.
In my defense, these prison walls, they couldn't hold anything in it all. I see your face in iron walls, and I keep crawling on back to you. Honestly, will you wait for me? Little world, promise me, one day I'll be free. This kind of place, it brings you down. Everyone's dragging their feet on the ground. Your kind of face could save a soul. It keeps me crying all night to you. Honestly, will you wait for me? Little
El Bronx with Cellmates from their first album, released around the time that we saw them in London. Oh, the memories.
Oh, I know. God, we'll never be young again.
That was the penultimate track of the show. We're approaching the ultimate track of the show. Thanks so much for joining me in my living room for the recording of this winter special.
I'm honoured to be asked and delighted to get out of the house.
It's been a real pleasure thinking about all these gigs we've been to. It's been actually really hard to pin down the artists, and we've had to cast some to the side.
I know, it's terrible. The cutting room floor here is it's full of nonsense.
I think actually the cutting room floor is so filled to the brim that maybe we should actually do a part two.
Shall we?
Shall we? Would you like to come back next week while you're still in Belfast and do another part to this Kieran Logue special?
Sure, why not?
Sure, why not? And if people want to find out about you in the meantime, what's your Twitter handle?
Rather embarrassingly, it's Frank Underpants, but I'm on there with my name as Kieran Logue. But yeah, if you search Frank Underpants, I might be the only one on there.
Maybe we'll tell you the story about that next week. We're going to end the show on a track by an artist that we both love fondly. And most of the songs we played, I think all the songs we played, we've been reminiscing about gigs where we've been standing together. Mm-hmm. Side by side, appreciating the artist. But this gig was actually a bit different because I was actually on stage.
You were supporting him.
In the audience.
Yeah.
Because I was supporting Billy Bragg in the Crescent Arts Centre. But it was part of this Belfast Nashville Music Festival. And what they do, instead of having the support act on, then the main act on, they have the support act sort of in the round with the main act. So we're all on stage at all times. And so I'm sitting beside Billy Bragg and you're sitting in the audience, and we're both really, no one's listening to me really, they're listening to Billy Bragg.
Oh, I don't know.
And the track we've chosen to represent that gig in our hearts and in our minds is a song he released on single in 1991, all about having an open mind.
You know, just playing the field, putting everything out there, letting it all hang out.
And you know what? Some people are into some things, some people are into other things, and that's completely fine.
I personally am into everything, and that's also fine.
This has been The Jewel Case. This has been me, John Darcy, with my lovely guest, Kieran Logue. This is Billy Bragg, Sexuality. See you next week.